إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, in resource management, we talk about the issue of prioritization, because resources are not unlimited for anybody. No kind of resource is unlimited, whether it is money or time or energy or whatever it is. And so therefore it is important to prioritize that and say which is more important compared to something else which is not so important. And then you allocate the resources to that which is most important. So in this process of prioritization, what I ask myself and I request you to ask yourself is, where does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fit into this? The reason I'm saying this is because if you look at, for example, how we bring up our children and ask this question and say, how much concern do we have for the fact that my child must know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, must recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one side, this is one concern. And the other concern is, my child should do well in his or her exams. They must get the highest level possible in whichever exam that they are doing. They must become doctors, they must become engineers, they must become whatever else. So if we take these two concerns, I'm not saying that these two are mutually exclusive, I'm not saying that one has to be at the expense of the other, but just for the sake of argument, supposing you are in a situation where one is at the expense of the other, which will you choose? Now, one is not at the expense of the other, it is possible for us to have both, and we should try to have both, no doubt about that. But whatever I may say, the fact remains that the amount of time we have in a day is the same, 24 hours. So if I am going to allocate some time to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to knowing Allah, to building a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that time has to come from the same 24 hours. Which means that therefore the time allotted for something else will be to that extent less. Let us take this a step further. Time for your child's exams. So now your child is studying and studying very hard and so on and so forth. At that time, the question of, say for example, you have and you should have your mamul, your daily reading, say one juz of Quran. So reading one juz of Quran with proper tajweed will take you around 45 minutes. I know people read it in 15 minutes, but may Allah protect them from themselves. So the point is that will take you around 45 minutes. So now you say that here is my child who is studying for these board exams, studying very hard and so on, but now this time of 45 minutes or 1 hour for reading one juz of Quran, what will you do? What will you do? I won't say what will your child do, because your child will do whatever you or the child has been trained and conditioned to do. So it's all in your lap. What will you do? Question of waking up for tahajjud and praying tahajjud and making dua for the same exam. Will you wake up the child? Or will you say that, you know, after all he studied so hard in the night and so on, let him sleep a little bit. I'll wake him up for fajr. I won't let him miss fajr. You know and I know what we do in that case also, but let us not go into that. Let us assume that you wake up for fajr. But what about tahajjud? So which is more important, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or whatever worldly focus, career and so on and so forth that we have? Which is more important? The reason I'm asking this question is because in many cases we find that we don't do this at the time we are supposed to do it, and we bring up children who are given this message very clearly, explicitly and implicitly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islam is less important than whatever career and so on and so forth that you have. Let us not beat around the bush. This is the actual message that we are giving to our children very clearly, without a doubt. So the child now studies and so on and so forth, grows up, is an adult, does very well, has zero connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know cases where those who were children at one point in time, by the time they reached adulthood and so forth, and they got their graduation and their masters and their PhDs and whatever else, they had completely gone totally out of Islam. They had no, they were stated, declared themselves as atheists. I know people who have totally lost complete connection with Islam. No connection whatsoever. And of course, parents are now very concerned and they are very worried and they are, you know, and then many times they come to me and they say, please, can you do something? What do you want me to do? You want me to reverse what you did not do for 20 years? Do I look like a magician to you? Is my name David Copperfield? What do you want me to do? This is the issue. The issue is that which you were supposed to do when you were supposed to do it, you did not do. And then you planted the tree, and now when the fruit comes, now you are suddenly very worried and hassled. How come this fruit happened on this tree? That fruit had to happen on that tree because you planted that tree. Simple as that. So, what are our priorities? Take now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the priority that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set for us. Look at the Quran. Look at all the stories of the Anbiya alayhimu salam. Do you find a single story in the Quran which talks about economic benefit? Did any Nabi come to teach us about a better way of farming or a better way of agriculture or some manufacturing method? Or some quality control method, or did a Nabi come to teach us about a better way of you know, money control? Or what, do you find anything at all in the Quran, anywhere in the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about this? Do you find anything anywhere that any Nabi came for any of this stuff? What did every Nabi come to do? To introduce us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every Nabi came with only one aim and one goal, which was to introduce us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Musa alayhi salam and gave him nubuwwat, what did he say? Innani ana Allahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa aqimis salata li dhikri. Khalas. I am your Rabb. There is no one other than me who is worthy of worship. So worship me and establish salah for my worship, for my dhikr, for my remembrance. Only one point. Now therefore, we have to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His kalam, sends His book, and this is the book that we have, but this is not the first book. This is the last book, but before this other books came. We are the ummatis of the last and final Rasul and Nabi, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before him, many others came. But there is no variation in the message that they brought. Every single Nabi came with exactly the same message. So should we not ask ourselves that if there is something which is so important, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Nabi after Nabi after Nabi after Nabi, Rasul after Rasul, to reiterate and emphasize this one single point. What is the reflection of this level of importance in my life? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered this to be so important, that He sent so many Anbiya and so many Kitabs, to reiterate this one message, what in my life shows me that I am giving it equal importance with regard to myself and with regard to my family. What is the evidence? I'm not saying you have to give the evidence to me. Give it to yourself. Give it to yourself so that one day it doesn't come back to haunt you. People feel that, you know, but you see, after all, I am praying 5 times a day. My wife is praying 5 times a day. Doesn't help. Please understand this. Your praying 5 times a day is yours. You should pray. It's like saying, I wake up every morning and I put on my trousers. Do you teach your children to put on trousers or not? Why? You are putting on your trousers every day. Do you leave it to the child? Let him, he'll understand one day. You have to teach. You have to teach, not sitting in a class with a book and a pencil. You have to teach in every aspect of your life that Allah is important. Not just important, but Allah is number one important. As I said, the two are not, your career and Allah are not mutually exclusive. But if they were mutually exclusive, you have to choose Allah over your career. And why do you do that? Because the career comes from Allah. If you choose Allah over the career, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. Because what is our aqidah? Our aqidah is that our risk is written. It is predetermined. It is decided. Nothing will change it. Now, is this really our aqidah or not? I mean, my question to myself is very simple. Is this really what we believe, or this is a whole lot of, you know, stuff we talk about and we have some other belief? We have to seriously ask ourselves this question. Do I really believe this? If I really believe this, then how do I think that it is okay to ignore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ignore His fara'id, ignore what He made important, and focus on something else, and still think that I am, that my life is going to be filled with goodness and this and how is it possible? Tell me. What is the priority? For most of us, we know what the priority is. Even those who are praying, you pray five times a day, but then what do you do? What is the quality of that salah? Do we pray anything more than what is required? In that also we want to say, no, this is fard, I prayed for the sunnah. Do I really have to pray the sunnah? Nawafil? Who is that? Fasting, Ramadan, over. After that, we wait for next Ramadan. We don't wait for it comes anyway. But when it comes to career, when it comes to business, we have a daily assessment. We have a monthly assessment. We have an annual assessment. We have a comparison between last year and this year. Just earning is not enough. I need to be earning more. How much more? There's no upper limit to that. For how long? Preferably 1,000 years after I die. Seriously, I mean, my point is this, we have to get real in this life. We cannot live this life of fantasy. We seem to be living in a life of fantasy. We are imagining that somehow it is possible to live this life ignoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet my life is going to be filled with, you know, gold is going to rain on me instead of water. And then when some of the realities hit us, then we get very, you know, concerned and worried, and we run here and there. The fact of the matter is, none of that needed to happen if we had done what we were supposed to do at the time. So I remind myself and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made His worship, He made knowing Him, He made connecting with Himself, Jalla Jalaluhu, as the number one priority in our lives. This is the greatest honor that can be given to us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned that we should connect with Him. That is why He sent the Anbiya. First of all, we need to recognize that this is an honor for us. We are not doing a favor to Allah by worshipping Him. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose us to worship Him is Allah's ihsan on us. Why is Allah concerned about we? Allah is not concerned. It is an honor for us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this, and therefore He sent His Anbiya. He introduced Himself in His Kitab. He introduced Himself through His Anbiya alayhi salam, because He wants us to know Him. Only when we understand this and we accept this as an honor will we be concerned about doing that. And then inculcate this in our children, in our families. But believe me, that cannot happen unless it is in yourself. You can only give what you have. If there is no love for Allah in your heart, it cannot be transferred anywhere else. If there is no importance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your and my heart, it cannot be transferred somewhere else. If there is no love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts, we cannot transfer it anywhere else. So we need to look at ourselves and say, what is the condition of myself, of my own heart, of my own nafs? What is my condition? And then improve this condition and simultaneously transfer it into our children and our families. And be very clear about priorities. Just like you will enforce studying and so on and so forth on your children because you know that their career, or you think, I won't say you know, you think that their career and their success in life is dependent on that. Ask yourself, what are you doing with that which is absolutely certain? That your success in life, in this life and the next life, is dependent on your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is absolutely certain. There's no shak in this. That's why the Anbiya alayhi salam, they said, Qala Rasulu, afillahi shak. You have doubt in Allah? Yeah? These ayat of the Quran, you must listen to them by when they are recited by a qari who understands what he's saying. Taraweeh mein ek bar, afillahi shak, 10 bar bola unhe. Afillahi shak, afillahi shak. You doubt Allah? You have doubt in Allah? Now, if there is no doubt in Allah, then how come in our life we do not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the priority? Really, we have to ask ourselves, because believe me, when the reality hits, it's not funny. It is not funny. It is very, very, very painful in this life as well as the next life. Don't wait for that. There is no need for that to happen. There is no need to go through that pain. If we open our eyes early, which is right now, and live our lives correctly and inculcate these values in our children, then inshallah al-mustaan, there is no need for you and me to go through that pain. In alhamdulillah, Allah will keep us safe. But the opposite is equally true. If you don't do that, if you insist on living like this, you know, this moronic way of living, which completely as if you are intoxicated, and we are intoxicated with this dunya, it is toxic, then the result is equally sure. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to prioritize our lives in the right way so that we don't have to regret at a time when there is no return from that place. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.